reading is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, to promote the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I serve with a good conscience as my ancestors did. I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night. When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I can be filled with happiness. I am reminded of your authentic faith, which first lived your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I'm sure that this faith is also inside you. Because of this, I'm reminding you to revive God's gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share the suffering for the good news depending on God's power. God is the one who saved and called us with a holy calling. This wasn't based on what we have done, but it was based on his own purpose and grace that he gave us in Christ Jesus before time began.
In lieu of a humorous little joke this morning, I got a video clip for you that kind of sums today's sermon up. Now, for those of you that are really, really hungry, you can't get up and leave after the video. But this video is from 1993. Does anyone in here know who Bobby Fischer was? Or is? Who's Bobby Fischer, Dean?
Chess player.
Probably one of the greatest chess players that ever lived. They made a movie about him. This movie is set as him as a child. And I want you to really focus on what you see.
Come on, move. What's that supposed to mean?
What's that supposed to mean?
He's offering him a draw.
I'm offering you a draw. Draw? You've got to be kidding. You've lost. You just don't know it. I've lost. Look at the board. I have. Take the draw, or I'll share the championship. Take the draw. Move. Check. Good game.
A video today shows young boys wrapped up in an intense chess match, right? One boy had the clear vision that he could see the entire board. Move for move, play for play, he realized that his worthy opponent was beat. And he offered him a concession. Share it with me. But the other boy's vision was so tunneled. Too much pride. Too much arrogance. He was willing to allow himself to take a defeat instead of a draw. Take a defeat. Didn't think he was worthy. Today's text, we talk about Timothy. Timothy was a young man, a very young man. He traveled with Paul. Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus. When he gets to Ephesus, he walks into trouble. There's a church that's in complete shambles. Timothy, being young, he was timid, he was shy, he was withdrawn. He was afraid to step forward and do anything because the older people were there. Timothy was willing to stand back and watch the church be destroyed. And Paul wrote him this letter. Do you not remember your mother, your grandmother? Do you not remember you had a vision when you got there? What happened? You were sent to serve. Now today I'm not going to beat you up with a hard, step on your toes sermon. So don't everybody get this old sad dog look on your face. Because today it's actually going to be a positive message. We don't have the tunnel vision. We have the vision that kind of broadens our eyes a little bit, but we're still a little timid. We're the Timothy's in the corner that says, well, it's always been this way, instead of going, my God, there's a box. Let me get out of it. We live inside of a box. Anybody ever notice we live in a box? Our homes are boxes. Our jobs we work at are boxes. Our lives we live with our families, a box. How many of you eat supper the exact same time every night? Don't lie. How many of you have your idea what your menu's planned out on the day you go to the grocery store, what you're going to have next Thursday, perhaps? There we go. There's honest folks in the room. We live in a tunnel vision world, folks. We don't want to admit that. We all live in these confined spaces. We lock ourselves in. We keep the outside world away because we don't want to ever try something different. 1877, the year this church was founded. A few weeks ago, I got to meet with a lady and she came here to the church because she was tracing her family genealogy. And we talked about the names in our historical books. Now, I didn't bring them in here today because 1877, these pages are very delicate, aren't they, Mary? They're very delicate. And if you sit there and you open them up, and the penmanship inside them is just beautiful. People took time to write things down. And as we traced it back, all I could do was sit there and think about the vision of this handful of people on the first page of the book. People that were living a whole lot worse than what we are. People who struggled a little bit. People who had to realize that if I'm going to eat, I'm going to have to kill that animal and not go buy it at the Hy-Vee. If I want some vegetables, that ground's got to be broke up and I've got to grow them because, there's no store. I got a hole in my pants. I'm going to have to fix them instead of throw them away. They had vision. They had a dream. And as I was going through these books with this lady, I went to the very last page. On the first Sunday the church ever met. Does anyone want to take a guess on what the offering was? 4. Count them. 4 cents. 4 cents. Look around what you have setting before you today. Vision. People that didn't stand there and say, well, back in the old country, this is the way we did it. We did things a little different. We came here and we decided that we wanted to put God first in our life. They had a vision that they wanted to come into a house of worship to be able to serve. What do we call our worship on Sunday morning? It's 2 words. Take a guess. What is it called? Oh, this is terrible. What? Worship service. You break that down in Webster's. Webster says service is to serve. So we come to praise and serve God. Timothy was afraid to do that in Ephesus. He's not wanting to really push the buttons too much. And the church was imploding on itself. The church was struggling. And Timothy started to push the buttons a little bit because Paul encouraged him, because he was reminded of the faces that had come before him. His mother, his grandmother. And I challenge you as a church and the citizens of Alpha. I'm not from Alpha. When they told me I was coming to Alpha a year ago, July, the first thing was I said, what's an Alpha? And they said, do you know where the Quad Cities are? And I said, no. Do you know where John Deere is made? Now, I'm glad Dave Allhouse is not here today because he would have a stroke. I said, no, where I come from, we use red tractors. I noticed you're sitting up here too. It's okay. Breathe through it. It'll be all right. But they asked me that, and I said, I don't know. So I come to Alpha, and I find out that Alpha is a great community. It's a community filled with love. It's a community filled with people who are willing to roll up their sleeves and get dirty for their neighbor. It's a community that's willing to have prayer in their school if they need it. It's a community that's willing to go to a neighbor's house and feed them if they need food. Work on their home if they need repairs. It's a community that the rest of this world really needs to see. People being people. Loving each other, not caring where you're really from. Last night as I gathered at Nancy's house, and we all know Nancy. We know the background. We know all of that. But there was 45 people standing in her front yard last night. Not all of them were family. That was just there to wrap hugs around people who were suffering. People who needed someone. The love was there. 1877, the folks that came here had a vision for prayer. They wanted this house, both this one and the first sanctuary, to be a place that would bring people in. Where people could come up to this rail or a rail just like it. Pour their burdens out on the ground. Fall to their knees and cry if they need to. Laugh if they must. But experience God for everything that He's got for them. No matter what we do, folks, we suffer in life. We have burdens that we carry every day with us. We have a load that we tend to pack on our back some. If you go deeper into scriptures, folks, there's a nice passage in the Bible that says the pathway to heaven, and I'm paraphrasing for you, is wide, but the gate's narrow. Pathway's wide, gate's narrow. You're not going to take all that stuff you carry around with you to heaven. You're not going to get there with it. So why pack it around with you now? Lay it down and let it go. Best place you can do it is right up here. But we tend to worry as a people that I can't be up here like this praying and focusing on Christ because you are sitting out there and you're looking at me. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, I don't care if you see the back of my head or my big backside. Because it's not about me, it's about God. If you feel the need to walk up here in the middle of a sermon and kneel down and start praying and pour your heart out, you know what this preacher's going to do? I'm going to kneel down right beside you and I'm going to pray beside you because you need that. And the rest of y'all, figure out what a Bible looks like and pick it up and read it. We've got to be a people that's not timid. We've got to become a people that have clear vision. People that realize that the focusing on the cross is the important thing in our life and not focusing on the stuff we're trying to carry with us. There's no Cadillacs and limousines driving to heaven, folks. No U-Haul truck's going to get you there. But that cross is going to show you how to get there. The people had one more vision. Their vision was to renew. Renew. Think it through. Not brand new. Renew. Everything you experience in life should be a new adventure, a new challenge, a new hill to come overcome, a new celebration to experience. You celebrated birthdays this month. Big bonfire, weenie roast, the whole bit. Was it the exact same way it was last year? Not a bit. You can have it again today, and it won't be the exact same thing today. It's a new vision, a new experience, a new opportunity to experience the blessings of God. It's sad as a preacher to stand before a congregation and you can fill out everybody's joys for the week on a 3x5 card and still have room enough to write the burdens down. Are you missing the joy in your life? Is it too small to celebrate? We should always be ready to pray, preach, or celebrate in our life. It took Timothy receiving two letters from his mentor to become a person who was of purpose, to overcome, to experience all that God has for him. I ask you, how many letters is it going to take for you to realize how great a life you've got? How many letters? How many reminders that it's time to celebrate? Time to experience the joy. Upcoming weddings. Retirements on the horizon. New adventures with new grandbabies. New obstacles to overcome. Go ahead and take a nap if you need to. We all get to experience those things. We should be a people who is ready to laugh, to love, and to live life to its fullest. I challenge you today to do something I do every day of my life. I dream. I dream big. I don't dream small. As a youth pastor in a church several years ago, and they went and they built a shed to park their future van in. The van that they purchased was only big enough to fit in the shed. And I asked the leaders of the church, did you limit yourself with the shed first? Or did you limit yourself in the vision? And they looked at me and they said, well, what are you talking about? I said, your vision was to build a shed. You built a shed for a van. And then you limited yourself on the size of that van. We limit ourselves as people. We don't dream big. We dream small. We dream inside of a box. Dream the dream and then let God fill it, no matter what it is. If you're a farmer, you're going to build the biggest bin you can because you want to get the biggest harvest you can inside that bin. You're not going to build a small bin. You're going to build a big bin. 1877, they built a big bin for four people. They've been through two sanctuaries. Don't allow your vision to be cut off short. Build big. Let God supply. Open your eyes. See the world around you. Please stand and join us on our closing song.